See my Jesus on the cross, the people crying, looking on, a man would think it a tragedy. But what this world could not see was when they nailed him to that tree, that it would break the chains of sin's captivity.
Goodness, that was a blessing. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for a wonderful song service this morning. I leaned over and told Brother Laster when they were singing, what a friend we have in Jesus, that mother in heaven was looking down, shaking her head, smiling. That was her favorite song. And then Mrs. Garner singing Love Groove this morning. My soul. We probably ought to just go ahead and give an invitation. But I'm not built that way. And open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I had the privilege yesterday of seeing Jerry Waits in a different light than I see him here. Here he is a man in our singles department who is a very faithful man and a stalwart in our church, loves the Lord. He's the baby of six children, and I can associate with that. He had three sisters, two brothers. And I had four sisters and two brothers, and being the youngest, I watched him yesterday as he ministered to his sisters and to his brother. And it was such a blessing to see the compassion and the tenderness of a man that many of you know but really don't know. And what a blessing it was to see God use him to be a comfort to his family. Open your Bibles now to Hebrews chapter 1. Stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. And we'll begin to read in verse number 1. I'm sorry, I've got to get to the place where I can see. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. The tears kind of blur the words, and I don't want you not to know what God's Word says. Some of you use so many different Bibles, different versions, you don't know what it says. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Notice that worlds. He didn't create just earth. He created everything in our solar system. Everything that was created, he created. He brought into existence from nothing by the power of his word and omnipotence. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, talking about God, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. God has spoken. Are you listening? God has spoken. Are you listening? Father, help me this morning as I bring this message to be a challenge to the heart of those who are here. Some here this morning have gone through burdens and heartaches throughout the last weeks, and they need you to touch their hearts and assure them that it's going to be all right. Because there's a God in heaven who loves them and cares for them. There's some here today that are going through tough times in their life. They don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but let them know today who holds tomorrow and who's in charge of tomorrow. And then, Father, there are those here this morning who have never been saved. They're facing an eternity without God and without hope. And you've spoken to us by your Son, letting us know that we don't have to die and go to hell because you have purged our sins by your own shed blood on Calvary. Help me to preach this morning with liberty and power, and I need your Spirit to do so. I need your anointing to do so. And for the individual in the pew to hear what's being said and understand it in their heart, they need the Spirit of God to give them listening ears and an enlightened heart. I ask you to do your work on both sides of the pulpit today, to this one that's speaking and to those who are supposed to be hearing. May when we leave here, we know exactly the truth of the fact that God has spoken. Now, Lord Jesus, save every unsaved person here today. We'll thank you for what you shall do. We'll thank you in advance of it, because we believe God. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God has not remained silent in His heavenly abode since He created the worlds. God has spoken over and over and over again. The Bible says so. In fact, the Bible says He has spoken at sundry times and in divers manners. That statement, sundry times and divers manners, simply means He's spoken at certain times and different times in many and various different ways. But He's been conveying His will to us. He has spoken so that we can know the heart of God and the mind of God. He's spoken in different times. He spoke in the patriarchal age and the Mosaic age and the prophetical age. He spoke to Adam that the Redeemer would come through the seed of the woman. He spoke to Abraham that the Redeemer would come from his own loins. He spoke to Jacob that the Savior would come through the tribe of Judah. He spoke to David that the Savior would come through his household. He spoke to Micah that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. He spoke to Isaiah that Jesus would be born of a virgin. God spake in time past, the Bible says, in divers manners, in various ways. God spoke by divine revelation to the prophets in Old Testament days. He spoke to some in dreams and in visions. To some, God spoke in an audible voice. To Moses, and for Israel's sake, He wrote His word on a tablet, a stone tablet. He communed with Moses face to face. In verse 2, God tells us that a new day has dawned on the human race. It says, He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. The last days, that period of time known as the last days in Scripture, began with the coming of Jesus Christ and will end when He comes again. These last days He's spoken to us through His Son. He's spoken in these last days about by divine revelation. He has spoken His final revelation. God's revealed word, God's revealed will, He's given to us through His Son. He's spoken in His own flesh because God became flesh and dwelt among us. That Son He's talking about was not just another human being born in a manger. It was God incarnate in human flesh. It was God's plan since He made that promise to Adam and to Abraham and to Jacob and to Isaac and to David and on and on and on. God brought His promise to reality there when the Virgin Mary of the lineage of David gave birth in Bethlehem in a manger, just like God said. God's virgin-born Son. God's Son who was implanted, that seed was implanted in Mary divinely, supernaturally, without a man. When she gave birth to that child, though it had a physical body from Mary, that baby was God. That baby was Jesus. And that baby was sinless. Say, why didn't God use a man? Because sin nature is passed from the father down to the children. And he bypassed that sin nature by putting his seed in Mary. She giving birth to that baby, though he had flesh from Mary. He was God's son without sin. And throughout his life, he never thought a wrong thought. He never took a crooked step. He never did a wrong deed. Theologically, it talks about his impeccability, the impeccability of Christ. Sinless, perfect, pure. God's Son, our Redeemer, come to the world for one reason. To die, to provide redemption for sinners like me and you. He's spoken to us in these last days by His Son. God's not only spoken through His Son, He's written it down in the Bible. All you'll ever need to know about salvation is written in His Word. God has spoken it. All we'll ever need to know about how to live in the will of God and please God is written down in this Bible. God has spoken it. Do you ever seek out what God is speaking to you about? Do you ever seek out God's Word and ask God to apply it to your heart and your life? God is still speaking. Are you listening? God wants us to know several things. Number one, God wants us to know that His message in these last days is not for some distant planet. It's not just for kings and potentates. It's not even just for the prophets. The Bible says He has in these last days spoken to us. Oh, my soul. God wants to commune with me. God wants fellowship with you. God wants a relationship with you. God has spoken to us. To us. He's put it down in His blessed Word. You don't have to have a preacher to know the will of God. You don't have to go to the priest to intercede for you. God's given you His Word. You can know as much about God as I can know. You have as much access to God as any preacher has. You're a child of God. He's spoken to us by His Word. Now that tells me about four things. Number one, God has time for us. Let me narrow it down. God has time for me. I told the people in our prayer meeting, workers' prayer meeting this morning, I told my Sunday school class, it had such an impact on me yesterday as I was thinking and listening and to music and thinking about the message today and the lesson today and about the privilege of prayer. We are so selfish, we only think about prayer in regards to me. Spending time with God. But you know what God has done in prayer? He's made it possible for Him to spend time with us. And that God would want to spend time with me. That God would cares about me and a relationship about me and with me. He's spoken to us in these last days. Oh, what a treasure. God wants us to know that He has time for us, and God wants me to understand His will and purpose for my life and live in it. So He's put it down in His Word. He wants me to know His will and purpose for my life. And He wants you to know. He has time for us. And He wants us to know His plan. And you know it's not really about you, it's about Him. God didn't bring you in this world and then He came into existence so we'd have somebody to pray to in time of emergency. No, before you ever existed, God was. Before the first star ever twinkled in the heaven, God was. Before the first man breathed a breath, God was. And God is the source from which all things come. He created it. We are His handiwork. It's not God being created for us. God created us for Him. And He wants us to know His will and purpose for our life. So He's written it down. He's spoken to us in these last days by His Son. Third thing I see here is that God desires me to obey Him. God desires me to obey Him. If God made us for His glory and for His will, for me to live according to what I want with no regards to Him means I'm living in rebellion to God. I wonder how many of you are living in rebellion to God this morning. God has spoken to us in these last days through His Son. He wants to spend time with us. He wants us to know His will and purpose for our life. But He's spoken to us and had it put down in the holy Word of God so we could obey Him. The joy of my life is not running and hiding from God. Anyone running and hiding from the law is not having a time of their life. They're living in fear. And anybody running and hiding from God and not obeying Him's not having the good times of their life. They're living in fear as a rebel against God. God wants us to obey Him because that's the place of joy and blessing. That's the place of peace and contentment. That's the place where our life has purpose and direction. He's spoken to us in these last days because He wants to have spend time with me. And He wants me to understand His will and purpose for my life. And He desires me to obey Him. And He's spoken to us in these last days because He wants us to know that God loves and cares about me and wants me to be saved. When we think about salvation, too often we think only about what we want. But I want you to know this Bible is given to us. And Calvary was given to us because the message from heaven is, I love you and I want you to be saved. Well, that's powerful. That's exciting. That God has time for me. God has not left us without His message. The Bible is a book written from God to me, to us. As I was studying for my sermon this morning, I turned over to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. And up above it I wrote, to Bob. It's for me. It's for me. God has written to me. And you can put your name there too, and you ought to. You ought to consider the Word of God from God to you. Personally. Now I get excited about God loving the world and Calvary being sufficient to save any sinner and every sinner who will come to Him by faith. But let me tell you what I really get excited over when I narrow it down to the fact that God loves me and God has spoken to me and God wants time with me and God wants me to be saved. Let me move on. We have written down by God that He has spoken to us in these last days. And it's only natural to ask, what's He spoken about? When God talked, what did He talk about? When God wrote, what did He write about? Well, the first thing He spoke to us about, He spoke to us about our sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, he shall die. Be sure your sins will find you out. On and on. God has spoken to us about sin. But it didn't stop there because that would have been a message without hope. that would have been a message of condemnation only. And God is not just a message, a God of truth. He's a God of love and God of grace. So in this same passage where He reminds us that He has spoken to us, and He's spoken to us about our sins, in verse number 3 He says, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." You ought to circle that word purged. And that phrase, purged our sin. What does purged mean? It means to cleanse away. It means to make atonement for. It means to forgive and blot them out and do away with them as though they never existed. And that's what He's done for us in Jesus Christ. Oh yes, He wants us to know about our sin and how that our sins are horrible and they're separating us from Him and fellowship and blessing. Our sins are separating us from heaven. You can't get saved until you deal with your sin. And the only way you can deal with your sin and get saved is present them to Jesus Christ, accepting Him as your Savior, knowing by Himself He's purged our sins. He's paid our sin debt. And then I want you to notice also in verse number 3, He said He's purged, spoken to us about our sins, telling us that they've been purged and that He did it by Himself. I'm amazed at the people who think they've got to help God forgive their sins. God's death on Calvary wasn't enough. They got to do works. They got to get religious. But I'm here to tell you, if Jesus didn't do it all on the cross of Calvary for us, then it can't be done. If He can't forgive our sins and save our soul, plus nothing and minus nothing but Calvary, it can't be done. If salvation is by any other way than by grace through faith, we'll never have it. We'll never know it. If it's something we have to earn, show me in the Bible how much work we've got to earn to do it. If it's got a price fixed to it that you could pay, tell me what the price is. The fact is, the price we've got to pay if we don't trust Jesus is death and hell forever and ever. And I want you to know right now, if you're unsaved, you can pay for your sins if you want to. But you're going to go to hell and spend forever in hell. The whole reason Jesus came into this world and lived without sin, though tempted in every way as we are tempted, the only reason He lived like that and went to the cross so that He might purge our sins by Himself for us and offer us salvation as a free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you have to add one dime to it, it's not a gift. A gift is completely paid for by someone else and given to you freely. All you have to do is accept it. How dare us to think there's something left undone, that God, who knows all things, can do all things, didn't do it all when it came to salvation. He paid it all. And He even gives us the faith with which to believe. If we'll just use what faith we have, if we feel in our heart right now that we're sinners, if we feel in our heart that we're lost and on our way to hell, if we've never been saved, if we don't have peace about our eternity, He's given you enough faith to ask Jesus to save you. And He said, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." He wants us to know He purged our sins, and He did it by Himself. He did it all. Sin's been paid for. It's been purged. It can be removed, washed away from any sinner and every sinner. but only if we'll come trusting Him as our Savior. He has spoken to us about His provision for our salvation. You ever think about salvation? God planned it, man didn't. Religion didn't plan it. Some religious organization didn't plan it. God planned it before the worlds were ever formed. Before man could ever stick his nose into the project, God had already planned it. And God provided it. God's the one that provided it. The first man that was created sinned. God made him a promise and set forth in type and picture when He covered their nakedness with the skins of animals, showing that a substitute was going to have to die vicariously for us to cover our sin debt. He never wavered. He never backed up on His promise. And in the fullness of time, right on time, in the exact place, in the exact way that God described it, Jesus was born. Right on time. God planned it, God provided it, and God paid for it with the sacrifice of His own Son. You and I didn't pay for it. The only way we can pay for our sins is die and go to hell, but that's void of salvation forever and ever. Jesus paid for it so He could take all our sin and condemnation and the wrath of God upon Himself that's against us and pay for it so it can be given to us as a free gift. And we can go free, and we can enjoy it, and we can rejoice that love grew where the blood fell. For us. For me. And He's spoken in these last days so we can know about it. He's spoken to us about His provision for our salvation in that we can only receive it. And we must receive it God's way or miss heaven. I got a letter from somebody this past week that had gotten one of our gospel tracts, and he went into his long discourse about the law and Yahweh, and he wouldn't say God nor Jesus. And he mocked the Bible and simple faith and Calvary. That man's great intelligence is going to be revealed in hell that he was a fool. God has spoken to us in simple terms. He's written it down for us in the common language. You know, the Word of God, the King James Bible, was written in a third to sixth grade level so you could understand it and I could understand it. He wants us to know. God's not like some of us. He's not like some of these preacher boys. They just want to preach to hear themselves. When God speaks, He wants to speak so we can know His will. He's speaking to us. He's speaking to us. And then He has told us that He loves us and that He's already proven it on Calvary. He loves us, and He's already proven it on Calvary. I think it was Johnny Flanagan that wrote a little song that says, He loved us and He proved it at the top of the hill. When I look at Calvary, I don't see just the suffering on an old rugged cross. I don't see men cursing God and reviling God. When I look at Calvary, I don't see just a scene over in Jerusalem outside of the walls of the city. When I look at Calvary, I see God's love for me and you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul said it a different way in Romans 5, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to know, my dear friends, in these last days, God has spoken through his Son. He's told us that he wants to spend time with us, that he loves us. And it's not his will that we perish and go to hell, but it's his will that each of us come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. He's told us that if we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's told us already in his word that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's some of you here today that are Christians, but you've gotten away from God. You've gone back into the world and you're living out of the will of God and you're bearing the shame and the heartache of sin. God says, I don't want you to bear that alone. Come unto me. Come confessing that sin to him. He didn't say confess it to the preacher. He didn't say tell it to everybody else. He said come and tell it to him. He'll tell nobody. He'll forgive it, blot it out, put it under the blood and never remember it again, he said. And if we'll come, he'll forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then there's some here today that you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven. You know you don't want to go to hell. You believe in God and you believe there's a heaven and a hell, but for your life and your eternity, you don't know for sure you're going to heaven. He's spoken to you today and wants you to know he loves you. And he wants you to know you can know. You can be saved and know it. Your sins can be forgiven and you can be assured of it. Heaven can be your home. You don't have to live with a troubled mind about eternity. But you've got to come to him through Jesus Christ. You've got to come to God through Jesus Christ. God does not give you a shortcut. He only has one way of salvation. And all who come to him have to come the same way. They have to come trusting Jesus as their Savior. But he said, all who come, he'll not cast one out. He's already said, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's spoken. Are you listening? What's he asking you to do this morning? Is he asking you to trust him as your Savior? Is he asking you to yield your life to his will and service? Is he asking you to get in church and begin to serve God and live for God like a Christian ought to live for God? Is he asking you to fix your marriage up in Christ so that you have a life worth living and a future to look forward to? You know, the only way marriage is going to work like it's supposed to be is when you're both in Christ in the will of God. Yielding yourself to God's will and God's word. He's speaking to someone here about some great need in your heart and in your life. And when God speaks, God is more important than E.F. Hutton. The commercial said when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. But when the God of glory speaks, some of you don't listen. And yet he wants to tell you he loves you. And he wants to spend time with you. He wants to save you and forgive you. He wants to fix your broken heart and heal your broken home. He wants to give you purpose and direction for life. He wants to give you a future worth looking forward to. Are you listening? Are you listening? Seems to me if God is speaking and we're listening, we ought to yield to him. We ought to obey him. We ought to do what he's asking us to do for him. I promise you, he's not asking you to rebel. He's not asking you to get up and leave. He's not asking you to turn a deaf ear. He said, come unto me, all ye that weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's speaking. Are you listening? Father, that's our message this morning. There's some here today that desperately need to be saved. Dear God, if they should die today, they don't have even the slightest idea that heaven's their home. They're afraid to think about dying and what their eternal future is without Christ. And they don't have to live another day in fear and uncertainty. They can come today and be saved. There's others with heavy burdens and great needs. You're speaking to them and letting them know that you can relieve that burden and give them relief from those pressures. You can fix the broken heart and the broken life and the broken marriage if they'll come to you and yield to you. Some you're speaking to about a church home. Some you're speaking to about being children of God that are not living for God, and they ought to come today and get their life right with God. Some have been saved and you're speaking to them about baptism. God, I wonder if we're listening. The greatest evidence that we're listening is when we obey you and do exactly what you ask us to do. And to some this morning, you're asking them to take advantage of this invitation to obey your will for their life. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I wonder how many of you right now can say, preacher, I'm saved and I know it. I don't think I'm saved or hope I'm saved. I can say on the authority of Scripture that I've been born again. These things have I written unto you that believe, that you may know you have eternal life. I wonder how many of you can say, preacher, I know and I'm glad of it. I'm not bragging. I'm not claiming to be a better Christian than others. I just know what Christ has done for me when I put my trust and faith in Him to be my Savior. Slip your hand up right now if you can say that. I'm saved and I know it and I'm glad of it. Just lift it up high. Isn't it beautiful to see people with their hands up? God must love to look down and see this. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Most everybody in here could raise their hands. You couldn't. And I thank you for being honest. Doesn't do any good to pretend when God already knows the truth and you know the truth and even the devil knows the truth. But even though you couldn't raise your hand, I don't believe that you want to die and go to hell. I don't believe that you want to miss heaven. I believe in your heart you'd like to be saved. But I want to tell you, if you're going to get saved, there's only one way, and that's coming to Jesus. There's not a Baptist way and a Catholic way and a Methodist way. There's just one, and that's Jesus. But He's rich in salvation to all who'll call upon Him. God is speaking to your heart this morning in these last days. Are you listening? I wonder if there's someone here that would say, preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know for sure heaven's my home. Would you pray for me? And before you ever raise your hand, I want to make you this promise. I won't embarrass you. I won't point you out. I won't come to you. I'll see your hand and your hand will be speaking for you. You won't have to say a word. And here's what that hand will mean. Pray for me, Brother Smith. I don't know for sure I'm saved, but you're right. I know I don't want to go to hell. If I could be saved and know it, I'd like to be. Please pray for me. While no one's looking, I wonder if you'd slip your hand up where I can see it. I'll acknowledge it, and you can take it right back down, and I'll know exactly what you mean. Pray for me, preacher. I don't know for sure I'm saved. Thank you. God bless you. Someone else, would you lift your hand? God bless you. I see your hand. Thank you so much for being honest. Someone else, preacher, I'm raising my hand. I don't know for sure I'm saved, but I'd like to know for sure. I'd like to leave here today knowing heaven's my home. I don't want to waste another sleepless night living in fear and uncertainty. I don't know for sure I'm saved. Please pray for me. Would you slip your hand while with these who have already raised their hand? God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Is there someone else? I'm waiting on you. I want to give you just a moment. God's speaking to your heart. I want you to decide, preacher, or God, I'm listening. Preacher, pray for me. Would you just slip your hand up? No one's looking. No one's going to embarrass you. I'd like to pray for you too. This is the last time I ask. If you haven't raised your hand, raise it now. God bless you. Thank you. I'm glad you raised your hand. Thank you. Is there anyone else this last time while I look? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you for these who have raised their hands. They said, pray for me, preacher. I don't know for certain I'm saved, but you're right. I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want to go to hell. With all my heart, I'd like to be saved. And Father, I'm praying for them in this manner. Help them to understand my prayer cannot save them. But you have provided salvation so completely that anyone and everyone who will come the Bible way can be saved. And the Bible way is coming by faith, accepting Jesus as Savior. You saved me that way. And all these others that could say, I'm saved and I know it, they got saved the same way. You're not going to have a special dispensation just for these few. If they're going to get saved, they've got to get saved like everybody else. So Lord, here's how I'm praying for them. Would you give them faith and courage enough so that when we stand to sing an invitation song in a minute, that they'll get up out of their seat, walk down the aisle and say to one of these men, I'd like to be saved. We will not embarrass them. We will not ask them to make a speech. We'll take them aside privately and lovingly and show them in the Bible how they can be saved and know it. I'm asking you to let this be that wonderful day when they settle forever that Jesus is their Savior. Now, while heads are still bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder if there's someone here that would say, Pastor, I am a Christian, but I've not been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do, but I've not done that. Pray for me. I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Would you slip your hand up right now if that's you? I've been saved, but I've not been baptized. God bless you. God bless you. Is there someone else? I've been saved, but I've not been baptized. God bless you. Before I pray for these, I wonder if there's someone that would say, Preacher, I'm a Christian. But I need a church home. I need a place where I can serve God and hear the Word of God preached. Pray for me. I need to know God's will about a church home. Would you slip your hand up right now? Just slip it up so I can pray for you. God bless you and you. Yes, and you. Anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you and you. One more thing before I pray. Preacher, I'm a Christian. And I'm saved, I know it. But I'm not living in the will of God, and God spoke to my heart about it. There's something wrong, something that needs taken care of between me and God. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up right now and indicate, Preacher, that's me. God bless you and you and you and you and you. Now, Father, I've preached the message you've given me to preach. And it's been very evident that you've been here this morning. Before I ever stood up to open the Bible, the music had God's presence all over it. And then, Heavenly Father, I felt your presence in the preaching. And Lord, the evidence of hands that have been raised is evident that the Holy Spirit of God has been doing a work, speaking to hearts about their need. Lord, I'm coming to you in prayer for these who ask for prayer. And I'm praying not that it'll just go away, but they'll do what they need to do to come to Jesus and get forgiveness. Because there is no forgiveness and there's no fixing the problems by avoiding the issue. We've got to obey you. We've got to do right. That means the saved need to get baptized and the unchurched need to get in church and begin to live for you and serve you. And those, Father, that are living outside of your will need to come back and confess their sin and ask for you to forgive them and heal their broken life and broken heart. You know our needs. Now help us to obey you this morning as you speak to our hearts. We'll thank you in advance for every soul saved and every decision made in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, and we're going to begin to sing an invitation song. And while we sing, you need to come. You raised your hand this morning. You need to come. Dear lady, you need to come and settle this matter forever. Come on, we're here to help you. Come on. That's right. Over here, you need to come. You raised your hand. Come now. Come quick. Some need a church home. Some need baptism. Come now. Come on. Come on. That's right. Come on.
Coming home, coming home, never more to roam.
Come on.
Open wide.
You know who you are. You know what God's asking you to do. Do it now.
Lord, I'm
coming. Now's the time to obey Him. Now's the time to yield to Him.
I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming.
He's speaking. Are you listening? Don't snub Him this morning. Don't turn away from Him this morning. Don't act like you can make it by yourself. Come on. Come on. This is your day. God wants to spend time with you and take care of those needs this morning. Maybe you're here and you need to come for baptism.